Hello and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm your host, The Host. And in this episode, we're going to talk about drought. Specifically, what the effects of drought are, its patterns of occurrence and severity, and how we can combat and monitor drought to make communities more resilient and to protect more people from the effects of drought. According to a webpage on the NIDI, or National Integrated Drought Information System website titled Drought Basics, drought is a deficiency of precipitation over a long period of time, which then causes a water shortage. Now, there are multiple different definitions of drought, but they all say the same thing. Drought is when there's a lot of dryness and a lack of precipitation for a long time. When drought affects a region, a lot of negative effects caused by drought occur. According to a webpage on the CDC's website titled Health Implications for Drought, there are several adverse implications for the health of the population affected by drought. For example, the long-term effects of drought include water shortages and low-quality drinking water. More diseases like the West Nile virus, which are spread by mosquitoes, which breed in stagnant water, as well as implications for air quality, sanitation, hygiene, food, and nutrition. As mentioned earlier, droughts cause a reduction in water quality, which makes it unsafe for consumption. According to a research article titled Drought Impacts on the Water Quality of Freshwater Systems, a review and integration. Because of the reduced water flow and volume, the salinity of water bodies increased due to quote-unquote reduced dilution and concentration of mass, increased temperatures and stratification, which happened in some ecological systems because of air temperature becoming hotter and increased hydraulic residence time. In case if you don't know what that is, according to a research article titled Microalgae-Based Wastewater Treatment and Utilization of Microalgae Biomass, hydraulic retention time, also known as hydraulic residence time, affects quote-unquote the nutrients removal efficiency, biomass selling ability, and microbial community in the microalgae treatment systems. Anyways, back to water quality. Because of increased air temperatures and increased hydraulic residence times, increased stratification and a rise in temperature occurred, which then led to quote-unquote enhanced algal production, promoted toxic cyanobacterial blooms, and lower dissolved oxygen concentration. In summary, drought leads to lowered water quality, which is bad if you need water to live, which is 100% of the human population on Earth. So drought is a major issue that we need to mitigate or better yet prevent. For this next part, we'll go over strategies used for detection, mitigation, and prevention. There are several detection strategies that can be used to alert communities about upcoming drought. One way to do this is to analyze and map soil moisture conditions across the selected land region. There are, again, several ways to do this, but the best way to collect this data quickly and effectively is to use passive microwave sensors to analyze soil moisture conditions. Again, there are many ways to do this, but the best way to collect this data quickly and effectively is to use passive microwave sensors to analyze soil moisture conditions. Quoting from a research paper titled Measurement of Soil Moisture Using Microwave Radiometer, microwaves can penetrate clouds, and so the sensors can operate in all weather conditions. They are sensitive to the presence of moisture in the soil as well as vegetation or any other material which absorbs moisture. So these sensors work by capturing electromagnetic radiation and convert the radiation into a map that can be used to view soil moisture conditions. Now, this is just an example of the different types of sensors used in this field. However, according to another research article titled Sensitivity to Soil Moisture by Active and Passive Microwave Sensors, vegetation can complicate the emission and scattering processes that these sensors use to detect soil moisture conditions. That means that vegetation can make it harder to get an accurate reading. Then we have the NDVI index. According to a review article published in the Journal of Forestry Research titled A Commentary Review on the Use of Normalized Difference Vegetation Index, NDVI, in the era of popular sensing, NDVI imagery is made by subtracting the red-colored electromagnetic radiation in the visual spectrum from the near-infrared radiation, which is then divided by the sum of the near-infrared wavelengths and the red-colored electromagnetic radiation from the visual spectrum. This information is provided by the spectral radiation measurements recorded with sensors specialized in detecting red and near-infrared wavelengths. Now, NDVI imagery and maps are done by satellites because NDVI mapping requires an aerial view. The NDVI index is intended to improve analysis on vegetation for factors such as biomass, chlorophyll concentration, productivity, vegetation cover, and stress. Now, while it's not intended for drought detection, we could hypothetically use it by using vegetation stresses as a marker for drought in dry regions. This can be measured by NDVI values, which range from -1 to 1. The higher the rating is, there will be an increased likelihood for greener vegetation. I don't think I have to explain how, when plants get drier, they become less green or more yellow or brown. Drought can put these stresses on plants, which can be picked up by making maps using the NDVI index. Now, while detection is important, it's also important to have ways to combat the effects of drought because knowledge is only useful when it's used. According to a research paper published in the journal Weather and Climate Extremes, titled Drought Preparedness and Drought Mitigation in the Developing World's Drylands, there are several ways to mitigate drought. For example, we can reduce soil evaporation in crop fields to retain soil moisture and use drought-resistant crop varieties to strengthen our food supply. Then, in regions with an increased likelihood of drought and a more arid climate, we can make irrigation systems more efficient by reducing distribution losses, converting pressure-irrigated systems into drip or sprinkler ones, changing and customizing harvest cycles to avoid heat and increase the use of marginal water such as sewage or brackish water. However, the best way to reduce severity and the numerousness of drought will be to eliminate anthropogenic climate change because it makes climates more extreme. According to the NCEI's Global Drought Overview of 2023, excessive anomalous warmth characterized much of 2023. It was the warmest year on record for North and South America, Africa, and globally the second warmest year for Asia and Europe, and the eighth warmest year for Australia. The January-December period ended up very dry across most of Canada, Central America, Southwest Asia, and the Mediterranean, and parts of Australia and South America, particularly the Amazon region, Venezuela, and the southern tip of the continent. This was mainly because of the change from La Niña to El Niño, which disrupted the water cycle. Now, the reason why this change occurred was because of rising sea temperatures caused by climate change. If we want to reduce the severity and frequency of droughts and other natural disasters, climate change will have to end. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode and that you learned something more about droughts and how they work. Don't forget to follow us on whatever platform you listen to, and don't forget to check out our website, which is linked in the description. If you have any questions or ideas for the next episode, email us at letustalkabout@outlook.com. Have a wonderful day, everyone. This is your host, signing off.